Hi, everybody, and welcome back to this week's edition of Will and Wise.
The Dog Show Drive.
Yeah, it sure is. Next week, we should trade that up. You should say Will and Wise, and I'll say the Dog Show Drive. Anyway, okay. On this week's edition of the Dog Show Drive, we are going to talk about a very exciting new event. The Dog Show Drive is going to go live.
Live!
We've had some people reach out to us that want to be able to ask us questions or question us, one or the other, I don't know. So we're going to work on a Dog Show Drive live. And again, more rules that are not really rules.
No.
So we're going to debunk these rules.
Debunk.
More show spotlights. A couple of really good show spotlights this week. And I love this week's Kennel and Bench because I loved it when magazines, and not because they were paid to, they did a spotlight on certain dogs that were impactful. So this week on Kennel and Bench, we're going to talk about an impactful dog in Canada in 1959. All that.
And more.
On this week's edition of Will and Wise.
The Dog Show Drive.
We had a bit of a mergey situation. All's good now, though.
Yeah, it's fine.
How's it going? How was your weekend? Did you do anything?
I went to our local, I guess it's like junior A or triple A. I don't know, baseball. We have the Border Cat. We have the Thunder Bay Border Cat. So we went that on Friday. My cousins from out of town were in
Thunder
town.
Thunder Bay, a Border Cat town? I don't think it is.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
So my cousins were in town, so we had lots of cousiny things we did. Barbecue. It was cold here this weekend.
It was cold Monday this week too here, yeah.
Yeah. So and then watched the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So
good, you know, old hometown boy.
Hometown boy bringing home the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So that was really exciting. I was really happy for Jordan. That's not that I know him or anything, but just,
you don't know him? Isn't he from Canada? Works in an office.
Yeah. Hopi's had her photo taken with all the Stahl brothers because we used to have the big golf tournament out here, and they used to, it was a Stahl Foundation, and it was a PGA Tour event. And so
it's an incredible family, you know, four of them making the NHL.
Exactly.
That's like incredible.
And they are like very large farm boys. Like they're big boys. Hopi looked like, because she's taller than me by an inch and I'm only 5'2". Like she looked like just like a little peanut with them. It's a cute picture, but yeah.
I'm pretty sure that went through Brady Kachuk's head too when he picked a fight with him the first game.
Right? Like, seriously?
Oh, no. I shouldn't have done that.
Then that guy that I always send you, that Rick Rowley guy. Ah, boom! You don't take on a Thunder Bay farm boy. Kaboom! So yep. It was pretty good.
Brady got a couple swings in, then he loaded up and boom.
Down he went like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
all proud.
Yeah, it was great. So I'm glad. And all the brothers were there too to celebrate. So
Eric came down and held the Stanley Cup with him. And it was fun.
Yes. And then
he won the Conn Smythe.
Yeah, which was also fantastic. Yeah. So I wonder if they'll let that come to Thunder Bay because he'll make an appearance here. Like, he'll have it. We've seen the cup. It's actually kind of funny because the cup comes here so often.
Yeah.
So it
more so than Toronto.
Yep, a little bit. So it's pretty funny because, like, they make certain rounds, especially the Stahl brothers. They support the George Jeffrey Children's Foundation here. They're really, really good to them, and they always bring the cup by there. And my girlfriend Stacy, who she's the head of HR, she's like, "Oh yeah, the cup came again."
Well, in Toronto, we'd be throwing a parade.
It's a small blurb on the news. Oh, it'll be here at this time, and then it goes to the Northwest Ontario Sports Hall of Fame. That's where Hopi got to see the stand. She's touched the cup, I think.
Yeah,
at least she got her picture with it too. So that Hopi. If it comes here, I'll let you know. You can fly it to stand by it. I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will come, but it is kind of funny how.
Oh God, yeah.
It's probably not as a dynamic event as it would be for others, and understandably, but we've been very, very fortunate to produce a lot of Stanley Cup champions here in this city. So, and
well, that's all for today, folks. Take us away, Yvonne.
Yep. Now. All right. No, but all right. So that's
The Toronto Marlies are in the Calder Cup final. So that means
anything. Excellent. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, so what did you do this weekend?
I went to a dog show.
Yeah. You had to twirl around the ring, even.
I know. I got called into duty because Dylan was ill and Tracy had to work. So I had to go show Melly on Saturday. So it was fun. Yeah. And then on Sunday, I spent the day with my boy Liam. Yep. And we went to Freelton Antiques and Acton's Vinyl Land. We just looked at old things all day long.
Oh, you could have just sat in the car and did that. Sorry.
Yeah. I know you're walking to an antique store and say, hey, what's new?
Okay. Anyway. Well, that's great. So
So that was fun. But the big news of the weekend was
yes,
the drum man, all, please. The myth, the legend, Johnny G turned a John Griffith. For those of you that don't know Johnny G, but I'm sure you do. Everybody's heard of Johnny G.
Everybody's heard of Johnny G.
Yeah, he turned 80 this weekend.
I cannot believe that.
I know.
He looks marginally older than when I worked for you 30-something years ago. Seriously. That picture you posted on Facebook, when was that? When he turned 50?
Yes, when he turned 50.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Yeah. Like he does not look that much. A little more gray. That's it.
Yeah.
He has weathered well.
The G-man.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And I'll tell you, the whole world loves some Johnny G.
Exactly. He got a
huge response to that post.
Of course. Yeah. Hey, Wybie.
Yeah. But he's been great. I've known him since I started, and he's always been a huge support for me, and he's been great. Yeah, he's still that way. So
yep, he's a great guy. Yep. We love our Johnny G. So happy belated birthday, John. Hope you had a good day.
The G-man likes what he sees.
Yes. So we have also a little bit more exciting news to share.
Yeah, this is news.
I don't know how good news this is, or is this going to just be a disaster? Because.
Why would it be a disaster?
Because
we won't have a script? Because we won't be able to stop it when things go awry? Cut! Could you in the back just mouth the words, please?
Like this. This just in. So the dog show drive is going to try and go live. So
the drive is going live.
The drive is going live.
For July, I think.
Yeah, we're going to try. We're going to try to plan an event where we will be live on Facebook, more than likely. Just because
Facebook live.
Yeah, because we don't know how to work any other platform.
And everybody's a member of Facebook.
Yes.
I had someone reach out to me at the dog show and tell them how much they love the show. And they're relatively new in the sport, and they listen to us every week.
That's so great.
Would love to be able to call in and ask questions.
Yeah.
Now, you can't call in on Facebook Live, but you can message in while you can
message.
There. Yeah, so we can answer.
I wonder if we could do the call in, because you know how we do our meeting? I wonder if someone just dialed in. I wonder if we can figure that out. That'd be fun, though.
It depends who dialed in, I suppose. I need some color.
We
It's all right. I'm back.
Welcome back, man. Yeah. So, okay.
We have this trick now because for those of you that aren't on podcast that aren't listening to us, they actually see
just
us
listening
on YouTube.
They're just listening to us. They're not watching the YouTube.
If they're not watching the YouTube or watching us on YouTube, sometimes because of our heritage, we get a little pasty white. So I figured out a broadcasting trick, and I happened upon it by accident. I was getting set up here with Yvonne, and I dropped something, and I came back up, and my color was better.
Because all the blood was rushing.
If your color's bad, pick up something off the ground, come back, and either you have high blood pressure or you're been tanning.
Yeah, either you're pre-heart attack or you have great color. So anyway,
I'll lose at home.
So
if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Sorry.
I do like that one. So keep apprised of our Facebook page because we'll also be taking some suggestion as to how you, our listeners, would like this live to go down. So I'm thinking we really have to do it on like the Thursday, Will. As people are driving to the show, let's do a live show. Yeah.
A live show. It won't be live on podcast, but because it'll be live on Facebook.
But it'll be live on Facebook. And I mean, there is a certain way you can, I think we could take it from Facebook. Well, we'll figure that out. That's our stuff. We got
to
work.
That's Doc's job. That's Doc's job to figure that stuff out.
Yeah. Yes. So we'll try.
Can't do it.
We'll do that.
This is all we do. We don't even know we're being recorded. It's just you and I talking for all I know.
You did hit record, didn't you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did I ever tell you about the time, folks, when we had to redo a whole podcast because Will forgot to hit the record button? Yeah. That was.
I thought I had. It's like when you should never check your emails or your messages while you're driving, because I've been taught not to text or message while you're driving. But because I have it on the right, so I can see the map, I can read them. But I never answer them. But because I've read them, my mind
has answered them.
I've answered them.
Yes, I know.
I get messages later on saying, "Are you ignoring me?" Or redo this? Or can you please read this email? And
are you mad at me?
Are you mad at me?
Are you mad at me? Yes. So anyway, so stay tuned, folks, for the exciting details of our live show.
The drive goes live.
The drive will go live. Yes.
Yeah, we should get t-shirts made.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
The drive goes live.
Maybe we could get a t-shirt for everyone who called in. I called in on the drive, the live.
That was on the first drive that was live.
So anyhow.
Right. Oh, I forgot. You know what I forgot to do?
Oh, what?
Set the timer.
Oh, good Lord.
So we're going to go for hours now.
Yep. Sorry, folks.
All right. Carry on, Yvonne.
All right. So, let's get across Canada. Brought to you by Canadian Dog Fancier, showcasing Canada's top dogs. So there was a few shows this weekend. A few shows.
There was a lot of shows altogether.
So there was in Brome, Quebec, there was the St. Francis Kennel and Obedience Club. They had four shows for a total entry of 662 dogs, which seems greatly down from the year before.
Are those numbers right?
Well, I didn't see. You rushed me through my reading of the agenda, and I didn't get a chance to maybe double check this.
This agenda was sent to us Monday.
Okay, well, you could read it too. You and your
own. I like to be surprises. Surprised.
Yeah. So anyway, anyhow, let's
I never
say,
practice. I like the
all
surprise.
I'm going to say is we believe they may have been down from the year before. That's what I'm going to say. Then there was the Yukon Kennel Club in Whitehorse, Yukon. I believe my brother was judging at that show. Mm-hmm. And the pictures from the other exhibitors from the Yukon show, it is just beautiful there.
Yeah. And they had some sort of 70s event, like 70s.
Yes.
People dressed up. And said, yeah.
Yes, because there was one photo that everyone thought it was me, but it wasn't me.
It was Shauna with a big, was it Shauna?
Yeah, Shauna. It was Shauna with a big blonde wig on.
Yeah. Yes. With your brother giving her a win. That's the show. So it's not you.
What's me? But a lot of people were confused. Anyway, the Yukon show, it had 6 shows for a total entry of 453 dogs, which was down from the year before, about 60 odd dogs. But they had 8 shows the year before. So they probably, I don't think they were really down then. They were probably up.
Probably not, no.
Yeah.
I'd like to go to that show.
I'd really like to. And all the judges that have gone there just say it's so beautiful. A couple extra days, because how often would you go to like the Yukon unless you live there, right? So, and it's part of our beautiful country. So,
I think I have a niece that lives up there somewhere.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yukon tourism. You could.
Yeah.
We'll do some plugs for you. And then we had the Ontario County Kennel Club in Orno, Ontario. And they had a total of 661 dogs across 4 shows, which was up from the previous year, 538. So that's a good job. They're up quite a bit. Yeah, that's a great entry. And then there was the Oromocto Kennel Club out in Cross Creek, New Brunswick. And they had a total of 4 shows for 452 dogs. And they were up also 150 dogs.
They're way up, yeah.
Yeah, 150 dogs from the previous year, 301. So good job, yeah. Oromocto. And then finally, on the West Coast in Black Creek, BC, there was the Comox Valley Kennel Club. And they were also up for 3 shows for a total entry of 533 dogs. And up from the previous year, about 60 dogs. And they had only 475 last year. So good job.
Good for them. Good work, everybody. Excellent. Good work.
Excellent work. Out there. Yes.
Really good class. Good work out there.
Way to go. All right. Some reminders for closing. Vancouver Island Dog Fanciers Association closes on Wednesday the 24th at 9 p.m., which is a classic show service show. Also, the Victoria City Kennel Club closing on Wednesday, June 24th at 9 p.m., also classic show service. Then we have the Portage Kennel Club closing on Friday, June 19th at 9 p.m. or when their limit is reached. And the show secretary for that show is Braylon Smith. And then we have the Wascana Dog Club closing on Wednesday, June 24th at 9 p.m. or when their limit is reached. And the show secretary for that is C&D Show Services.
And you did that well, went canned. And show services.
And show services. And. There's a lot of show closing, so buckle up, folks. This is going to take me a minute.
Summertime.
Let's see. So these three shows all close on May. No, not May.
June 22nd,
on Monday, June 22nd. They're all Diana Edwards show services. So we have the Bob Cajun Kennel Club, the Kawartha Kennel Club, and the Pine Ridge Kennel Club, all closing. Well,
they've clustered together. So they're all in Norwood, Ontario now. They've clustered together, which is smart, right?
Is that across the, Canada Day is the first, which is on Wednesday. Is that mm-hmm. weekend, though, that first weekend in July? I think so, eh?
I think so.
I think so. Anyway. And then the London Canine Association closing on June 23rd, Tuesday, June 23rd. And that's an MJN show service. Also closing is Sault Ste. Marie Kennel Club on June 24th, or when their limit is reached, 8 p.m. or when their limit is reached. And that's also an MJN show service. And then Club Canin du Bas-Saint-Laurent. And that closes also on Wednesday, June 24th, or 9 p.m., or when their limit is reached. And that's a Pascal Pontos show. And then there's the Charlotte County Kennel Club. And that closes Monday, June 22nd at 10 p.m., or when their limit is reached. And that show secretary is Betty Aubrey. And then finally, the Cape Breton Kennel Club closing on Wednesday, June 24th at 6 p.m. or when their limit is reached. And the show secretary for that is Nancy McCrae.
Yeah, that's a lot of shows. Yeah. But it is summertime. You know?
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
Yep, exactly.
So that was Across Canada and our Reminders for Closing, brought to you by Canadian Dog Fancier, showcasing Canada's top dogs. Yeah. So next we have...
We move on to the show spotlight, brought to you by Show Scene Magazine, the place to be seen. This week's Canadian show is the Miramichi Kennel Club, closes Monday, July 6th at 9 p.m. It's held at the Noteworthy Farm Show Services. So it's, well, that's the show service, but it's held at Noteworthy Farm. Friday, July 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. There's two limited entry shows, Friday and Monday. One unlimited show each day, Saturday and Sunday. Three all-breed rally trials, Saturday. Three all-breed obedience trials, Sunday. Entries accepted for dogs with canine companion numbers. Four earth dog tests, two on July 17th, one on July 19th, and one on July 20th. Six sprinter trials, every leg sprinter.
I missed going to the sprinter. We had sprinter races this weekend here, but my dog's in season, so I couldn't take her.
Oh, yeah, it's against the rules, probably.
Yes.
July 18th, 19th. Three trials a day. And the specialties, on Saturday, July 18th, we have the American Staffordshire Terrier Club Regional, the Border Terrier of Canada, Border Terrier Club of Canada Regional, Bulldog Club of Canada Regional, Cairn Terrier Club of Canada Regional, German Shorthair Pointer Club of Canada Regional, and the Miniature Schnauzer Club of Canada National. Yes. And on Sunday, we have the Terrier Breeders Association of Canada Regional Group Specialty. All shows are held at Noteworthy Farm at Cross Creek, New Brunswick. There's baby puppy all 4 days, veteran and ultra classes at all six shows, confirmation junior handling Saturday and Sunday, obedience junior handling Saturday and Sunday.
Oh.
The judging panel. Oh, it's a stellar judging panel.
This is a good panel.
Yeah, Tom and Sandy Alexander, William Alexander, Lydia Coleman Hutchinson, I love Lydia, Jean Delisle, Perry McLean, Barbara Orr, Richard Powell, and Pierre Talbot. So that'll be a fun panel.
Yeah. That's some good terrier people on that panel. Yeah,
so we have the Miniature Schnauzer Club of Canada. That's on Saturday, July 18th. The judge is Richard Powell, and the sweepstakes judge is none other than Dr. Douglas McIntyre.
Yes.
American Staffordshire Terrier Club of Canada Regional Specialty Show, held Saturday, July 18th. Judge Richard Powell. And then the Regional Terrier for the Regional Specialty Show for the Border Terrier Club of Canada is also on Saturday, July 18th. And Richard Powell is going to will be judging that as well. The Bulldog Club of Canada Regional Specialty Show on Saturdays, Judge Cynthia Roten from USA. Again, sweepstakes, Dr. Doug McIntyre from New Brunswick. Regional Specialty Show for Cairn Terriers, Saturday, July 18th. Judge will be Richard Powell from USA. Sweepstakes is Dan McDougall from New Brunswick. And then we have the German Shorthair Pointer Club of Canada Regional Specialty on Saturday, July 18th. We don't have the judge there. Breeders. A group specialty show for terriers on Sunday, Terriers, July 19th. Judge is Mrs. Lydia Coleman Hutchinson, so that'll be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Sweepstakes judges Elizabeth Sanford, New Brunswick. All breed rally and obedience, the Miramichi Kennel Club. Earth dog test, we talked about that already.
Party. Go ahead. The party.
Oh, I didn't see that. Where's the party?
It's right after the earth dog stuff.
Oh, Saturday, July 18th, on site, 1 hour after Besson Show, judging the Maritime Kitchen Party, featuring maritime cuisine and hospitality.
That, I hope you as judges get to go to that.
We do, but we have to sit away from the crowd, though. Yeah. We have our own spot. I've been there before. That's for okay. That. But that'd it was good. It was excellent dinner. So it'll be a buffet dinner with appetizers, seafood, poultry, beef and pork, macaroni salad, potato salad, coleslaw, karaoke, open mic, and bonfire.
I might be stepping in for
the karaoke. Bring your singing voice or instruments. There you go.
That's awesome. Only $35 a ticket. That's a good price.
That's almost free.
That's almost free. If you saved up your money, $5 a week, you would have enough money to get to the party.
That's right. And they're also having Earth Dog Sanction Match Thursday, July 16th, 2026. Please let Patrick know if you want to participate in this event. $10 per dog, regardless of the class, and you may move up at no additional cost. Aubrey Sanction Matches, to have Mayor Machine Kennel Club have an Aubrey Sanction Match on Thursday. Sherman Short Hair Pointer Club is having an Aubrey Sanction Match, which is great because we don't have enough sanction matches anymore.
Yep, exactly. Yep,
and that all that closes Monday, July 6th at 9 p.m. Atlantic time.
9:30 in Newfoundland. No, just joking.
All right.
Yes, that's great. So now on to our U.S. show. So it's the, I think you took Miramichi so that I'd have to try and say Hoosier. Hoosier Summer Classic.
She gone.
So entries close on Wednesday, July 1st at noon, and this is a Barre event. So this is the Hoosier Summer Classic at the St. Joseph County Fairgrounds. It's four back-to-back all-breed dog shows. So on Thursday and Friday, July 16th and 17th, it's the Logan Sports Kennel Club. And on Saturday the 18th and Sunday the 19th, it's the Michiana Kennel Club. Yeah, you thought you'd get me on that, but I practiced saying that before.
Did you practice?
I did, because I looked at it.
Why and
I
was is it like, called the Hoosier Kennel Club?
Hoosier?
And why is it?
Why? It's not. It's this Hoosier Summer Classic.
Okay, well, why is it called the Hoosier Summer Classic?
It's the area that they're in.
What area are they in?
It's, isn't it?
Indiana.
I knew that.
You didn't say it, though.
Because you interrupted me.
I did not interrupt you.
It's Hoosier basketball. That's why I remember it.
Exactly.
Yes.
You said where it was, St. Joseph County Fairgrounds. But where is that?
In South Bend, Indiana. Indiana. Yep. So the judges for this, for all events, James Albrecht, Regina.
Regina.
Regina, because we're Canadian, we say Regina.
Tomato,
but
I say tomorrow.
Everybody else would say Regina. Regina okay, Hess, Regina. Cindy Lane, Elizabeth Moustard, Charles Ovis, Jan Paul.
Cindy Meyer. You missed Cindy Meyer.
Yeah. Cindy's there. And John Titus Steele.
That's a good panel.
Yeah. So they have a Pee Wee class, the special attraction on Saturday the 18th, no entry fee. But they do have an entry limit of 15. So only 15 kids from 5 to 9. Oh, that's what they call their Pee Wee classes, 5 to 9. I always forget that their age groups are older than ours. Because I think our Pee Wees are, 4 to 6 years old?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And then there we have the 4 to 6 month beginner puppies. And they have those entries will close at noon. Oh, same thing. And then there's a junior showmanship competition. There's a care clinic. I don't know what that is. Oh, it's ophthalmologist. So it must be a type of eye disease they're looking for. So I know what Bear is. Bear is like the hearing test. So this must be for eyes. Yes, because it's a board certified ophthalmologist, Dr. Wendy Townsend, School of Veterinary Medicine from Purdue. They also have the Michiana Kennel Club is presenting 8 cats over 4 days. So early and online entries are $25. Gate entries are $35 and fun runs are $10. That'll be on July 16th through the 19th at St. Joseph County 4-H Fairgrounds in South Bend, Indiana. They also have a FSS open shows on Saturday and Sunday. Now, that's what Foundation Stock. What's the other S for? Don't just look at me with dead eyes.
Joe, I don't know. Foundation
Stock Service. I can't remember what it is. Sorry that we can't remember. We've gone through this. We even talked about it. Yeah. But we're old and it's not written down in front of me, so I won't say it. But we do. So anyway. Yep. So that's happening on Saturday and Sunday. So all eligible breeds, they have puppy dogs from four to 12 months old. And the basically looks like the regular classes. So, and the judging will be indoors. Note to self. So as we said, that was on Wednesday, July the 1st. The entries close at noon, and that's a Bar Ray event. And that is our two show spotlights, and they were brought to you by Show Scene Magazine, the place to be seen.
It is services. Foundation's Dog Service Breeds.
See? I did remember. Yeah. I did remember.
You didn't let us down. You didn't let us down.
I haven't even been taking my ginkgo biloba. Balboa. Remember when I used to say my ginkgo.
Have you been taking Rocky Balboa?
Yep. Adrian! Anyway. So let's get on to this week's topic. How are we doing for time? Oh, it doesn't matter because we didn't take.
No, we're good. We're good. Okay, we got lots of time.
All right.
I just started it, so we have lots of time.
So this week's topic brought to you by Leading Edge Dog Show Academy, where your success is our success.
So more rules.
More rules. More rules you thought were rules, but were rules, but aren't.
But are not. You think it's better, but it's not. Yep. You think they're rules, but it's not. SCKC.
So this is another myth, is it's about the judge's examination.
Right.
And it kind of like a judge must thoroughly go over every dog. And technically, they don't have to thoroughly go over a dog. They have to examine it. They must be able to touch it. So two things that judges must examine are bite and, for male dogs, testicles. So for some dogs, just one. So they always, every judge must check bites, whether it be thumb or showing. And if the exhibitor does not show the judge the dog's bite, the judge may examine the mouth themselves. That is actual rule. That's a rule.
Well, we try not to anymore because
of disease.
Cleanliness of all the dogs we go through.
But
it is not
allowed for a judge to examine the dog's mouth.
Right.
So if in case you get
you do hear that complaint, the dog barely touched me. You know, barely touched my dog.
Barely touched my dog.
Well, do you remember Skip Stanford? He had like a few spots he touched the dog, and that was that.
That was.
And there was no better judge than Skip Stanford.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So many exhibitors believe there's a rule requiring a judge to conduct a lengthy, detailed, hands-on examination of every exhibit. No.
No. If I did that, I'd be handing you a chiropractic invoice at the end of it.
Right? I was like,
here's your invoice.
$1 per minute per massage. The reality is that judges are required to examine the dog sufficiently to make an informed decision, but there is no rule that specifies exactly how long that examination must take. Right. Some judges have a very hands-on approach. Others rely heavily on what they see on the move, outline, breed type, and overall presentation. Different judges prioritize different aspects of the evaluation. You'll sometimes hear exhibitors say, the judge only spent 5 seconds on my dog, so they couldn't possibly have judged it properly. But time spent touching a dog isn't necessarily a measure of how carefully a judge evaluated. Experienced judges often identify key breed characteristics very quickly. Right. And you'll also know, and like you and I, we both can tell you that experienced judges, their process of examination has been honed and, you know, grown over
it's
the
course of their judging. They master their way to examine dogs.
Yeah.
Because most veteran judges or longtime judges, they realize that they only have so much time before some dogs react.
Right, and, there's that.
And it's not react in a bad way or a menacing way, but try a full body exam on a Labrador puppy. It's not happening.
Labrador puppy. Labrador special. Never mind. Yeah. That's a feat in itself.
Yeah.
Yep. So as long as a judge has examined the dog in a manner that allows them to evaluate against the breed standard, there is no requirement that they perform a lengthy or exhaustive physical exam. Well, the other thing that we've often talked about too when judges examine dogs is sometimes we know there are some judges who are a little heavier handed than others as well. And you don't want that judge sitting there examining your dog for 2.5 minutes, do you? No, you don't. You would like them to get in and get out.
Get out. Yeah. And like I can recall over my vast career, I remember some judges, it's usually in their later years, their twilight years, but using the dogs to get up.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yes, for sure.
I always think about Skip and how he approached dogs and how he examined dogs. And he was never, he did it the same way every time, didn't matter what breed it was. And I never saw, in my time with joining Skip, I never saw a dog react in a negative way to Skip Stambridge. Mm-hmm. And he was so quick about it. And he knew what he was doing just by, he used to tell me that when the dogs walked in, outlines caught him first. He caught outlines, and all of a sudden he said certain dogs will stick in his head because they're outlines right away. Not that he's going to give them favoritism, but it's a first impression, and first impressions are very important.
So. Yeah, and a correct outline is a correct out for a lot of the breeds, right? Like that's what we look
makes
for.
You, makes you look forward to examining certain breeds, certain dogs.
Yeah,
when exactly. They walk in and they have that outline you're looking for.
Yeah,
I try to teach my students that the first impression is so important.
Right, exactly.
I think it's time for color again. Oh, see? Oh. They're tanning. They're tanning.
Every time. let me see. Just because a judge doesn't examine every dog exactly the same way for the same length of time doesn't mean they violated any rule. But I will tell you that when you're being observed as a judge, the observer is looking for consistency. So, and that is what judges do strive to have, is consistency in, you know, not only ring procedure, but in how they examine a dog too. Now, occasionally you do have to maybe change up the way you're examining a dog. For example, a boisterous puppy or, you know, a dog on a table that's uncomfortable, et cetera, but by and large, we try to be very consistent with our methodology of examining dogs. Now,
and I like to state too, the examination, I was taught this, that your dog is being examined. He's not being judged at that point.
Yeah.
Like they're looking for the key points that they have to have, the testicles, teeth, and looking for those key points. But they're like a toy dog is never judged on the table. They're only judged on the floor.
Yeah.
No, exactly. That's the way I was taught. So.
Good point.
Thanks.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, the other thing that we must remember as well, so in that every dog has to be examined at the breed level, but when you get to the group level, the only rule at the group level is that all the dogs must be gated. If that judge has judged that dog already once, it does not need to be re-examined. They don't need to examine the dogs again at group level, but they must gate them. That is the only
individual gate. Yes.
Yes. But when you get to the best in show level,
and we get a lot of foreigners failing in this rule because they think because they just judged that group and gave that dog the group, they don't have to re-examine it.
Yeah.
But exactly. In best in show.
But they do. All dogs in the best in show ring, like in the general specials, they must be re-examined. So that's what you'll, and you know, foreign judges, a lot of times they get caught on that for sure.
They think they've already done it. I wonder why we call it general specials.
I know, right? I don't know.
Megan, look that up for us.
Megan, look that up. General specials. And then, I was supposed to look up something else for Megan to go in.
Oh, I remember what it was. We got work to do.
Yeah,
we're live. We're not live, but we're on air.
we're on air. So other things to note about judges and the examination is we were talking about tables and ramps. So there's some breeds where it's optional to be
ramp
is optional, or ramp or table is optional. And just as a rule of
optionals. Yeah, there's no table optionals.
Isn't there? They can be either examined on the ramp or the table.
Yeah, either or, but
that's what I mean. That's what I meant.
Just a few now. I think English cockers just happened. Yeah. English cockers now are table or ramp optional. Ramp.
So,
and I prefer them on tables, just so you know.
Yes. And just so you know, whatever the judge puts the first dog on, if it's a ramp or if it's a table, that's how all the dogs have to be judged, either the ramp or the table. You can't have one dog on a ramp and then one dog on the table, or one dog on a ramp, one dog on the floor. If everybody's judged, they're all judged at the same, or examined, they're all examined on the same location. It's either the floor.
If you're being observed, you'll get a frowny face instead of a happy face.
Yeah, they'll go thumbs down, thumbs down. Two out of 10, do not recommend. Anyway, so as exhibitors, just to have you know that if you happen to have one of those breeds where there's an option as to where the location of your examination is, whatever one dog is, they all are. So that's that.
Exactly. Good job. Good job.
Yeah. And I think that was it. Is that good enough? Is that good enough for that?
Oh yeah, I think we covered everything.
I think we covered everything. About that. Yeah. We'll do some other rules next week too. I think we've got some.
I think it's a good series that we're doing because these are questions people ask us, and they need to know and let's face it, the rule about the groups going on at the same time. Everybody thought that was a rule.
Yeah, like a true rule. Like
even people that have been in dogs their entire lives. Yeah. I can't start now. The sporting group's in the ring. Well, you know, they can.
The calling three times thing.
Yeah.
Where you're actually just wasting time, and especially if they already told you the dog's absent. You don't have to call an absent dog three times.
And you as an exhibitor and or handler, if your dog's in at 9:15, you'll be ready at 9:15.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
That was our topic of the week, brought to you by Leading Edge Dog Show Academy. Where your success is our success. Ta-da!
Best of luck. All right.
Yes.
And now,
dun, 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 dun,
Kennel and Bench, Kennel and Bench. I've got to get me some Kennel and Bench. It brought to you by Pro Plan, fuel for life.
Yes. So this is from the Kennel and Bench of June 19th. Oh, excuse me. Little burp there.
It's just gas. It'll pass.
June of 1959. So the headline is Canadian Carry Sensation of Europe. So yes. I hope she wrote this out bigger.
She did. There's a whole blurb on it.
All right. So for this week's Kennel and Bench, we're spotlighting one of Canada's early international canine superstars, champion Tail Teens, Rare Gem. Bred and owned by Mrs. M. Eileen McEachran of Tormorden, Ontario, Rare Gem became one of the most celebrated bitches produced by the famed Tail Teen Kerry Blue Kennels. She earned both her Canadian and American championships, proving that Canadian-bred Kerry Blue Terriers could compete successfully at the highest level of the sport. Among her most impressive achievements was winning Best of Opposite Sex at the prestigious Kerry Blue Club of America Specialty prior to Westminster, defeating an entry of 73 Kerry Blue Terriers under Judge George Hartley. She followed that accomplishment by once again winning Best Opposite Sex at Westminster Kennel Club, one of the most coveted victories in the dog world. But Rare Gem's story didn't end in North America. Oh, no. According to this week's article, Rare Gem embarked on a remarkable European tour where she earned victories and created considerable excitement throughout the continent. Her crate and stand presentation style, commonplace in Canada, was virtually unknown in Europe and attracted attracted attention everywhere she went. The article notes that she was accumulated enough wins.
Accumulating enough wins and generating so much interest.
That Dogs Magazine planned a separate feature devoted entirely to her European successes. Wow. Rare Gem was also part of a legendary litter. Her brother, Champion Tail Teen's Marcy's son, became one of the top-winning Caribou Terriers of his era, while another sibling, Tail Teen's You Can Tell, won the puppy sweepstakes at the pre-Westminster specialty. At a time when it was exceptionally difficult for Canadian breeders to gain recognition abroad, Tail Teen's Rare Gem was winning not only in Canada and the United States, but also making an impression across Europe. Through her accomplishments, she helped establish Tail Teen Kennels as one of the premier Caribou Terrier breeding programs of the era and proved that Canadian bred dogs could command respect on the world stage. Tail Teen's Rare Gem wasn't just a champion. She was one of Canada's first true international ambassadors for the sport of purebred dogs.
And that's great. That's June of 1959. So that's
59.
That's crazy. I like when Kennel & Mensch or magazines did spotlights on dogs like that.
That's good.
You know, brought interest to their country. You know.
Yes, for sure. Exceptional.
I love Kennel & Mensch.
Me too.
All right.
Yay.
We made it through another one without people getting upset with us.
We did it.
Forgot to mention the trade, though, for all Maple Leafs. Traded away. Okay, never mind. This just in, Toronto Maple Leafs, they trade. we traded. Oh, I lost it. Joseph Woll and Simone Benoit to Philadelphia Flyers for Emil. Can't read, it's too small. A Swedish defenseman we got, and another Swedish goaltender. Samuel Emerson. So everybody's searching online who they are because I've never heard of them. So yeah.
Yeah, so that's it. So, good show.
Sorry, guys. The hockey's over, so I've got to find something.
I know. So, we're done.
All right, take us away, Yvonne.
So, don't forget to click, like, and subscribe to the podcast on the YouTube, Spotify, Audible, CastBox, or anywhere you get your podcast. Check out our Facebook page, the Dog Show Drive Canadian Edition. Check out or email us your ideas, comments, and more at dogshowdrive@gmail.com. And remember, anything you want to see on the live show, got to start sending in your ideas.
Dog Show Drive is going live. It'll be fun.
It will be fun. So everyone going to a show this weekend. Seatbelts on, glasses on. Till next week, guys. Bye.
That's right. Take care, guys.